that God says, I am the potter, thou art the clay. Mold me and make me. Amen. Just put your life into the hands of the potter and let him make you what he wants you to be. If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 today. Our Lord is in the garden. He's going to be crucified, going to the cross. And this record of his prayer is very, very powerful. And we'll see what the Lord has for us today. Let's begin reading in verse 36. It's Matthew 26 and verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, and the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Father, bless your word. Thank you for this story. Thank you for the sacrifice you made for us. And I pray that we would learn something today that would help us to watch and pray. Our spirits are willing today, Lord, but our flesh is weak. You know each one of our hearts, why we do what we do, why we don't do what we should do. And we pray that you'd minister to us. We pray that your spirit would give us grace and strength to live for you and honor you all the days of our life. Bless your precious word today. For thy glory we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's an interesting portion of scripture, and three times the Lord prayed the same thing. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me, the cross. But if not, thy will be done. I think in 2 Corinthians there, chapter 12, the Apostle Paul prayed three times for God to take the thorn in the flesh away from him. And God gave that thorn in the flesh, lest he should be exalted above measure. God gave him a thorn in the flesh, and lest I should be exalted above measure. There was a purpose for that in Paul's life. But he prayed three times for God to take that thorn away. And people have debated what that thorn was. I believe it was his eyesight. But I'm not going to go into all the verses on that. But he had a physical ailment. And God did not take it away. And he said, Therefore, my grace is sufficient for you. Therefore, Paul says, I will glory in mine infirmities, necessities, persecutions, all the trials, that when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And so he gave over to the will of God. Rather than to continue to pray about it, he just said, Okay. It's interesting that that is three times. Paul wanted to be like his Savior. And there's a lot of examples of that. But that comes down to us then. Amen? And we have a will. We all have a will to serve the Lord. If you're saved, you love God. Amen? And those that believe in him, he is precious. So he's precious. But why don't we always do what we're supposed to do? You don't have to raise your hand or nudge the person next to you. But sometimes people don't want to come to church. They don't want to. The flesh is, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen? You ever turn over in bed and say, you know, just a little more sleep today and whatever. But I don't want to keep going in that direction. But there are a lot of things that we know are right to do, but we don't do them because our flesh is weak. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3, Paul is speaking of the Macedonians, and he said this, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. They gave everything they could, but that wasn't enough to get the job done, so it was beyond their power. They got God involved in it." And it says, "They were willing of themselves, and this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." They were willing to do it. They didn't have the strength to do it without God's help, but they were willing, and then God helped them. Verse 12, same chapter. "If there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." First, a willing mind. You have in the same chapter, or chapter 9, the next chapter, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." So what's going on in our heart translates and helps the will of God to become a reality. Amen? But that's what's in our heart. But sometimes we have that plague of the heart, and the heart doesn't desire that. In Exodus chapter 35 and verse 21, it says, "And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work." This is the tabernacle. And so everybody, what was going on in their heart, produced that will of God, and then they followed the Lord and did something about it. I think that's a blessing. You know, somebody said one time, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And a lot of things Christians do grudgingly or of necessity, not because they're willing to do it and their heart isn't right with the Lord. What a blessing it is to have a part in His work. What a blessing it is to see somebody saved and know that you had some influence in that. Amen? And so we look at those things. Thy will be done. I've mentioned before about where Jesus told his disciples, because they were under Roman power, he said, if a Roman compels you to go with him 1 mile, because that was their law, go with him twain. The second mile, you don't have to go, but the first mile is the law, the second mile is grace. And when we enter into the second mile, when we live for God, not because we have to, when we give to God, not because we have to, when we say the right thing, not because we have to, but we want to please the Lord. That's grace. That's living in grace. And we're to grow in knowledge and the grace of God. So that helps us do the will of God. Amen? It's good to do the will of God, but it's good to do the will of God willingly. Willingly, not of necessity. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, this is what we call the Lord's Prayer. I preached on this a couple weeks ago. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we pray that. We pray, God, thy will be done in my life, not in just somebody else's life, but in my life. It was a personal prayer. Matthew 26, 42. He went again away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup pass may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he was suffering there. He was in great agony. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. We can't even imagine the agony he was in. He did not want the sins of the world. He did not want to be separated from the Father, because that's the result of sin. Your sin has separated you from you and your God. And he saw that. And he had never been separated from God. There was a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And here's God who became flesh. So he had the nature of man and the nature of God, but without sin. That was the difference. He was the perfect sacrifice. And there he is, and he had to be the perfect sacrifice. That's the only sacrifice God could accept. And he said, not my will, but thy will be done. He trusted himself to the Father, and he died on the cross. He took upon him the sins of all the world. Our sins were on him, but not in him. You understand the principle. But he was separated from the Father. I've mentioned it before. On the cross, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We are not forsaken because Jesus was forsaken for us. God will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? But he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He never addressed his father like that. It was always my father, my father. But now as he became the representative sinner, it was my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he didn't say father, but then he did later. Amen. He paid for our sins. That's the point. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15, I am thrilled that I'm a Christian. I have an old nature and a new nature, just like you if you're a Christian. You have an old nature and a new nature. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So when we're born again, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Little Bible lesson there. But our flesh, Galatians chapter 5, is always fighting the Spirit. It's always fighting. And it's like feeding the black dog or the white dog. If you feed the black dog, he gets stronger than the white dog. If you starve the white dog. If you feed the white dog and starve the black dog, the white dog is going to be stronger. So we read the Word of God. We feast our souls on the Word of God. Where would we be without it? Amen? And the Spirit gives us that strength. And so those are all the blessings that we have. But it says, it doesn't say this about me. It says it's about everybody. But I would rather enjoy something than suffer through it. Amen? I would rather have somebody smile at me, come on, you can do it, than frown, amen? And I think that's a human nature, right? We would rather have comfort than pain. No, I like pain. I take needles out and stick them in my finger all the time. No, you don't want to do that, amen? We want comfort, we want ease, but this is a tough life. And listen to what the Bible says. 1 Peter 4:15, let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. It goes on and it says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Verse 19, them that suffer according to the will of God. According to the will of God. I said this to somebody this morning. It's a phrase that I read. But it said, it's easy to appear to be a Daniel if you live in a country with no lions. Amen? It's easy. And here we are, you know, well, America's tough. There's a lot tougher places than America. And there's countries that kill the Christians, and there's persecution everywhere. And we get up in the morning, we come to a comfortable church, and we're not persecuted, and we go home, and we have all the benefits of our faith. Amen. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. If you can't keep up with the footmen, how would you ever run with the horses, the Bible says? And sometimes we're thrown into that area of suffering, persecution, ridicule, misrepresentation, all of the different things, and sometimes even physical suffering. I have been associated with a number of missionaries in my life. Visited the field, difficult fields many times. And there's real heartbreak. There's real suffering. I know missionaries that are men that are pastoring in Ukraine that we had in our Bible Institute in Romania. And I know they're in the Ukraine somewhere. Without contact. I mean, there's all kinds of people that are giving their lives for the Lord. Amen? And they're doing it as a Christian because sometimes we are called to suffer according to the will of God. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul gets saved and God says about Paul, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. How great things he must suffer. Remember when Paul got saved, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He wasn't interested in not suffering. He just wanted to do the will of God. What is the will of God? Well, it's health, wealth, and prosperity. That's not in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say that. The will of God is not health, wealth, and prosperity. Sometimes it's the opposite of that. It just depends on what God does in your life. It doesn't mean that health, wealth, and prosperity is bad, but God sometimes causes us to sacrifice those things for His glory. Job is a good example of that. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the will of God. That's why Jesus died. Amen? That's why he said, I don't want to be separated from you, Father, but for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He knew what he was doing. He was dying for the sins of the whole world, and he could make that announcement. Anybody, whosoever will, let him call upon my name, and he'll be saved. God can do that. 1 Timothy 2:4 says about our God, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. That is the will of God. Amen? And so we are all involved in accomplishing the will of God. We witness to people. We give. We support missions. All of the things. We want to be faithful to church so that people have a place to come. We do that so the will of God can be fulfilled by people being saved. But here's the problem. Jesus said in John 20:21, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. But the problem is the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter is rebuking the Lord. The Lord says, I've got to go out to Jerusalem and die. And Peter says, not so, Lord. Can you imagine that? You know, you're the Messiah, you're Christ, you're God in the flesh, not so. And he says, no, I need to go up to Jerusalem and die. And this is what the Lord said to Peter, Matthew 16:23. Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but thou savorest the things that be of man. Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, because that's who was at work in stopping the suffering and keeping Christ off the cross. And so everything points to this. In Matthew 26, verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Take your Bibles. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll read a couple verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians is right after 1 Corinthians, if you're having a hard time finding it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's begin reading in verse 16. Paul says, for which cause we faint not, all the trials, all the heartache, all the suffering. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, can you believe he's saying light affliction? He's been beaten, 39 stripes, many times, beaten with rods, night and day spent in the deep, perils of his own countrymen, I mean, just all of the things. And it says there, our light affliction is but for a moment, which worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You're real close to Romans, so go back to Romans, Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, just a few pages to the left. Romans 12, and look with me at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's where Christians are supposed to be. We're to live the will of God. Thy will be done, God. We want your will to be done through us. We want to be used in accomplishing your will. And what is the will of God? That every man, woman, boy, and girl have the gospel and be saved. Amen? And there are people that everybody has a free will. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, he said, I would, ye would not. It's God's will. He would. All men everywhere would be saved, but not all men everywhere want to be saved. Amen? And so I would and ye would not. It's the same thing with doing the will of God to Christians. God would have us to do this. God is showing us what his will is, but it takes sacrifice, Romans chapter 12, and it takes suffering, 1 Peter. So we look at those things, but boy, is it worth it to do the will of God. Here's the problem. The flesh is weak. The message today is really for you if you desire to do His will. If you desire, that's a good thing. I want to do the will of God. But you're like all of us. If you want to do the will of God, the flesh is going to fight that. We want to pray, we fall asleep. If we want to read the Bible, I don't have time. This, that, and the other thing. You ever get angry? And the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, right? Wrath of man doesn't work. Doesn't accomplish His will. Okay? You ever get mad? Angry? Not righteous indignation, which like, oh, mine's just righteous indignation. You know? That's a good excuse sometimes. But we can win an argument and lose a soul. You can take the Bible. The Bible says that the Word of God is for edification and not for destruction. So we use the Bible to build up, to show somebody something. But the Word is like a sword of the Spirit, right? But we want to use the Word to draw people to Christ. 2 Samuel chapter 24, David had numbered the people, and a great plague was killing people. And David said, I've got to do something about this. I am sorry, Lord, I have sinned. And the prophet told David to make an offering to the Lord. And so there's a man by the name of Araunah, and he has some property, and he has an altar, and he has the animals to be sacrificed. And he said, here, David, you can have all of this, and you can just do it. And David said, shall I give unto the Lord of that which cost me nothing? And he wouldn't do that. He wanted to give of his own substance to do that. And when he did that, when he was willing to sacrifice and repent, then the plague stopped. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about the plague of the heart. And sometimes it just takes submitting to the will of God, whatever that will is. And boy, we could go in a lot of directions today. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Thy strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon thee. You ever go through something and it make you angry, or it makes you regretful, or whatever it is? Do you know God's just working in your life? Amen. He's connecting you with different people. It might be a hospital, it might be a neighborhood, it might be the neighbor's dog is going to the bathroom in your yard. That's a pleasant thought, isn't it? You know? And I mean, there's all kinds of things, that little irritations that would cause our spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be grieved and us not want to reach that soul. I looked something up on the internet, and as I've said so many times, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true, you know. But I looked up some things about the strong-willed child. Strong-willed. You ever meet a strong-willed child? Well, I was one. And maybe we're still strong-willed. But the strong-willed child. And I won't bore you with all of these, but there's a list of things that you can spot a strong-willed child. Number one is angry outbursts, temper tantrums. That's a strong will. Ever see them at the store or something, you know? They're in the checkout line, and they know that's the time to scream, because the candy bars are right there, and I will embarrass my mom, and she knows. That's why you don't take strong-willed children to the store. But anyway, temper tantrums, angry outbursts. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Soft answer turneth away wrath. Be angry and sin not. You know, don't go too far. So there's all kinds of things. But we might have a stronger will than what God will have us do. Amen? How about this one? Refuses to comply. That's a strong-willed child. So what do you do if they refuse to comply? Well, then you use reverse psychology. Well, that's just a lie. Amen? Don't eat those green beans. And you know he'll eat the green beans because you're telling him not to eat them. That's no way to train up a child, amen? Because you'll be backwards on everything. But refuses to comply. Selective hearing. Did you hear what I said? Huh? Yeah. Right. You weren't selected. Making up their own rules. You know? I mean, this is a strong-willed child. But if we bring those over into the Christian life, those can be our attributes because we have a strong will against God's will. A strong will is wonderful if it's submitted to God. It's a blessing. Take your Bible and turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. In Numbers chapter 13, the nation is getting ready to go into the promised land. They've been delivered out of Egyptian bondage, and they're going to go spy out the land, the promised land. There's a lot of fears, a lot of anxiety about that with some people, but this is what the Lord says in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. I'm giving it. All you need to do is go search it out, but I'm going to give you that land. And it says, of every tribe of their fathers shall they send a man, every one a ruler among them. 12 tribes, 12 men went to spy on Canaan, right? 10 were bad, 2 were good. Joshua and Caleb were the good ones. The 10 said, we're not able to do this. God said they were. He says, I'm going to give you the land. So they went and spied it out, but they came back and they brought up an evil report. And they said, we can't go. There's iron chariots and there's giants in the land and it's really bad. But Joshua and Caleb said, we are well able to do it. We are well able to do it. And so they accomplished the will of God, no matter what the opposition was, no matter the fears that were out there, even the realities that were out there. They said, we are well able. But the 10 spies that were negative kept them from going forward. And so they wandered in the wilderness. Sometimes when we don't follow the will of God, it has a ripple effect. It affects other people. When we say, yeah, this is right, this is what we need to do, that affects people too. Amen? But we have such a privilege to do this for the Lord. The cream of the crop said no. Position doesn't matter. They were rulers. Position doesn't matter. It matters the will of God. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. I preached on this recently. And what I do when I don't have time to study, I just take a bunch of stuff from another message. Amen. I'm kidding. But in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1, Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Well, wait a minute. We're surrounded by the enemy. We're in a famine. You know, there's no hope. It's just not going to work. But the word of God said, no, tomorrow at this time it's going to be plenty. That was verse 1. Verse 16, same chapter. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. It didn't look good at all. Sometimes God says, this is my will, and you go, not so, Lord, not so. And the Lord says, get thee behind me, Satan. Not, he's calling you Satan, but Satan is working in a person's life. This was what the prophet said. This is what God said. Remember in Acts chapter 27, Paul's on that ship, and all hope that they should be saved was taken away. They'd thrown everything overboard. Haven't seen the sun or the stars in many days. That's it. Paul goes down to pray. And he comes up and he says, be of good cheer. It shall be even as it was told me. Nobody's going to lose their life. We're going to lose the ship. Big deal. Amen. We're going to lose all the cargo. Big deal. But nobody's going to die. And there was a purpose in all of that too. I mean, what a testimony all that was. Luke chapter 5. Well, let me give you Psalm 116:10. The psalmist said, I believe, therefore have I spoken. Man, we've been through some lean times. I've been here 7 years, and we've had times of plenty. We've had lean times. It's okay. Amen? You just follow the will of God. You just do what is right to do. I remember, I wanted to tell you something pretty exciting. I talked to our insurance man that insures the building, and it's a lot of money every year. And they told me that they're not going to charge us anymore, that they're just going to insure the church, and we're not going to have to pay anything at all. And then there was, I talked to the utilities companies, all three of them, and they told me, they said, Pastor Delmark, we have a new policy. We're not going to charge you any utility bills. No electricity, no water, no gas. The snowplow guy said, you're a blessing in this neighborhood. We're not going to charge you anymore. Same thing with the grass. True Green, we have True Green. They said, we love the church, and you don't have to do a thing. Wouldn't that be something if that was true? I remember when I first came, you remember it too, it was a dark day. It was a dark day for, you said, yeah, Pastor, we voted against you, but I don't know how it worked. But I got up one Sunday and I said, because you've got these pictures on the wall down there of this new addition. And I said, good news. I just wanted to let everybody know that we have the money to build that building. And I remember some of you, way, yay, everybody's shouting hallelujah. And I said, all we have to do is give it. And then that brought the, oh, yeah, he's doing that stuff again. Yeah. And, we don't ever have to build that. You don't ever have to build it. We got pictures up that we're probably never, and if we do, we do. But we don't ever have to build that. We don't have to do this or do that. We just don't have to do that, but we have to do the will of God. Amen? And the will of God is not just buildings and fixing and giving. It's about winning people to Christ. Amen? That is the will of God. I believe, therefore have I spoken. Luke chapter 5. Peter and the disciples are out fishing, and they're not catching a thing. And the Lord says, have you got any fish? No, we toiled all night, and we caught nothing. And the Lord said, throw your net on the other side. Over here, if you throw your net, you're going to catch some fish. And they didn't argue with him. Amen? They said, we haven't been catching fish. Let's throw the net over there. That's the Lord saying that. And they couldn't even pull it in. There were so many fish. Sometimes God will tell you, go cast your net over there. Amen? And you might be able to draw somebody to the Lord and to faith in the gospel. 1 Corinthians 3:6. I have planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. I really like it when you preach a gospel sermon and you give an invitation that people get saved. But sometimes it takes people a while to get saved. Sometimes witnessing to a neighbor might be years. A family member might be years. But sooner or later, here they come, and God can save their soul. Amen? There are seasons of that. And so we look at that and we take heart in that. Psalm 1:3, well, Psalm 126, verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. If we go and we sow, we'll win some souls to Christ. Psalm 1:3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. He that winneth souls is wise. And all of the verses, it is the will of God that people get saved. That's his will. Well, it's his will that we live holy lives. Yes, it's his will that we do this and we pray about this. That's true. But all of that is designed to lead towards people being saved. Amen? He tells us how to interact with people. He tells us how to pray for people. He tells us what to do to keep ourselves strong and close to him. But all of that is designed that somebody might be saved. That is the will of God. And The will of God, we want to do it, but our flesh is weak. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Now, I can't talk to him about that. He gets mad every time I talk to him about that. Oh, the illustrations where finally God broke through one day. What do you do when somebody gets mad at you when you're witnessing to them? Well, you just punch them in the nose. Soft answer turneth away wrath. Keep your testimony and people will be saved. Turn to the book of Philemon. I'm almost done. Right before Hebrews. It's a little book right before Hebrews. Paul is writing to Philemon. And there's a man by the name of Onesimus. And Paul is in jail. And Onesimus ends up in jail. Paul is writing this book, this letter back to Philemon because he's going to talk to him about the change in Onesimus. Paul's in jail. Onesimus was Philemon's servant. And he stole from him and he ended up where Paul was. Can you imagine that? Paul knew Philemon. Paul was a Christian. And here, this guy who did all this stuff ends up in a jail cell with the Apostle Paul. Boy, that's a blessing, amen? You ever pray for your kids? You ever pray for your neighbors? There's a lot of people working out there, the will of God, and they might just end up close to one of those and be influenced by it. But anyway, let's read verse 10. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in bonds. Paul is telling Philemon, his son, not his physical son, but his son in the faith. In his bonds, he was in jail. So, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels. And you can read it, verse 19 or verse 18. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, it go on and it goes on. But he says, he wasn't profitable to you. He stole from you. But now he's saved. I'm sending him back to you because he's profitable. Remember, who was it? John Mark, Acts chapter 16. He went with Paul and Barnabas on a missions jaunt trip. And John Mark quit and went back home. Acts chapter 15, they're going to go on another missions trip, Paul and Barnabas. But Paul says, we're not taking John Mark. We're not taking him. He quit. He would be a hindrance to this journey. And Barnabas says, no, I think he's learned. Let's take him. And the contention was so sharp between them that they parted their ways. Paul takes Silas, they go, and Barnabas takes John Mark. And we don't hear anything about them until Paul says at the end of his life, bring John Mark, for he's profitable to me for the ministry. Thank God for Barnabas. Amen? Thank God for somebody that was going to give somebody a second chance. Thank God for the Apostle Paul. Even in jail, he had a testimony. He was winning people to Christ. No matter where God plants you, right in the corner where you are, right? Be a light. Accomplish the will of God, because that's why God put you there. Say, God, I've got a new neighbor moving in. Amen? My wife and I don't know her spiritual condition at all, but we prayed for her already. And there is a reason that we have a new neighbor. We got rid of the last one. We smoked him out. But anyway, and our last neighbor was a blessing. And the neighbor across the street just moved back to West Virginia, but he was witness to. You never know who God's going to plant. Amen? You can accomplish the will of God. Matthew 21, verse 28. What think ye? You judge. A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? And they said unto him, the first. Maybe you're here today and you don't witness, you're not interested in getting people to church or getting people saved or how to witness to them. And you have been to this point, I'm not going to do that. I will not. But you can change that right now. You can change that today and live a life that is a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Give the gospel out that others might be saved. Amen. And when you win a soul to Christ, it'll change your life. Absolutely change your life. And when you win more, when you're just involved in it, it's not numbers. It's just giving the gospel out because you become a part of the equation. Some sow, some water, and some reap. Some we sow the seed, we pray, we water the seed, and we reap. And we're all part of that equation. But we're co-laborers with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Mine eye affecteth mine heart. I was in a meeting in Texas, Houston, Texas, once, and a couple got up to sing. I had never heard this song before. You may know it. But it's, I dreamed I went to heaven and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man. He was smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now. And then he said, but wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Then another man stood before you and said, remember the time a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. One by one they came, far as the eyes could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know that up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes. And Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around. Great is your reward. Amen. That's the will of God. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we love you. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the privilege we have to sow the seed, to pray, and even to reap souls for your glory. I pray, Lord, we get back to the basics. I pray that we'd ask for the old paths. I pray that we would do your will, Lord, not ours. For your honor and glory, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.